Welcome to the show. This is Nate over at East City Ranch. I'm going to be filling in today for James Gilland, who is taking some much-deserved downtime, relaxation, and retreat time out of the country. I'm joined by our friend and colleague, Mr. Spencer Barclay. He's been an assistant of the ranch in many capacities. Many folks have seen some of his workshops here or heard him on this radio show, and a lot of people are also catching his latest release over on the Red Ice Creation Network. Mr. Spencer, are you with us here today?
I'm right here, Nate.
Excellent.
Who are you calling Mr.?
Yeah, right. And we're joined today by our guest, James McBride. And James is the Postmaster General of North America. He is the trustee of the Global Trust and keeper of the Seal of St. Peter. He has documented a breach of trust to the highest levels internationally, demanded a cure, and been acknowledged as being at peace with the Crown and the Vatican. And today he is on the cutting edge of a worldwide evolution towards greater levels of self-responsibility and freedom. Divine Providence is an international peace council and basically a country without borders recognized by the UN with their own country code. And so the living beneficiaries, the people of Earth, have the choice to become a member of this private society and acquire technologies and tools such as diplomatic identification cards and international driver's permits, as well as a system for documenting the breach of trust of various trustees and a method to cure that while maintaining peace. So James, if you're with us, would you like to make any corrections to that introduction and maybe give the audience a brief overview of who you are and the work that you do?
Sure, good. I'm glad to be here with you. Let me start at the beginning. What is the DP and where does our authority come from? And this we are not a religious organization, but we start out with, in the beginning, God or creator of the universe, whoever gave man dominion over all things, hold in trust. So everything on the earth and everything that we create here is held in trust. And in the beginning, each man was responsible as a trustee, had a fiduciary duty as a trustee to maintain and take care of that part of the divine estate, the divine estate trust that he was going to use. And through the years, man being the way they are, there are some entities that saw that there was power and control and profit in selling people on allowing them to be our trustees. So through the years, the Vatican has now claimed dominion of the entire earth by conquest. And since they cannot own anything either, they have identified themselves as being the primary trustee of the global estate trust. So to administrate this global trust, the Vatican created the Universal Postal Union, because to break down this large trust into bite-sized pieces, and to give each bite-sized piece, they had to each area had to have a post gaining their sovereign authority. So the Vatican created a Universal Postal Union, who divided the global trust into bite-sized pieces, endowed each one of them with sovereign authority to administrate the whole global trust. And the whole global trust was administrated in under the dark forces for years and years and years. And so several years ago, I began documenting. I found out that, that the entire world operated under the laws of trust. And although I'd been involved in the statutory and the common law and ecclesiastic law, it appeared that the powers that be operated under no set of rules whatsoever, that they were absolutely outwardly criminal in their activity. But I'd had enough interaction with the powers that be in the courts and the police departments and ABCs and to know that the reality was much different, that they couldn't possibly be that outwardly criminal because they weren't that. They were all cowards. They all hide behind their guns and their badges and their offices and their skirts. So I said there had to be some set of rules or something that that they operated under. So I found out that they operate and they all are liable under the rules of the laws of trust. So I started documenting the breach of trust and the powers of be's failure or refusal to allow us to redeem our property from bankruptcy. Because the entire United States, in fact, most of the world, have been operating in bankruptcy for decades. And it was the private property or the estates of the people that had been put up at risk to collateralize that bankruptcy. That bankruptcy was now over, and because it was our property, we had a right to redeem that property. When they refused to allow us to redeem that property from the bankruptcy, that became a breach of trust and bankruptcy obstruction and a voluntary surrender of their office. So I documented hundreds or thousands of cases of bankruptcy obstruction on one level, and then I took those to the next level of trustee, and I demanded a cure for the breach. And when they didn't provide a cure of the breach, I took it to the next level and to the next level until finally I sent, I claimed the abandonment of the post office of the Postmaster General of North America, under whose direction the United States operates. And I sent that to the Universal Postal Union, and they sent it to the Vatican, who was on day 21 provided me with the surrender to me the key of St. Peter, which is the key to the treasuries for the redemption of the property. And they acknowledged me as the Postmaster General of North America and gave me the keys to assist in redeeming the property from the bankruptcy. What's taken me 3 years to begin to figure out what it means, how to operate it, how to use it. But today we are beginning to figure that out. We are now acknowledged as a country of our own with our own private country code, and we're acknowledged all over the world by the powers that be. We now we're in process of creating a central bank and our own court system. And we are the trustees of the Global Trust. And as members come into the Divine Providence, now they take and they have, they become, reestablish their living status as living beings and as the true living beneficiaries rather than the trustees of the of their own estate. And the Divine Providence now represents them in many matters. We provide different processes and documents, many of them that are free, that to assist people in dealing with all the kind of issues that that arise in their world today. We know that there's so many people that life is kind of rough out there, and that people have problems with foreclosures and with debt collectors and the IRS. And so we show people how to extricate themselves from that system and become private and go to peace. So that's basically how Divine Providence gets its authority, how we became who we are and where we are today.
Wow. Yeah, it's something that more and more we're seeing a need, just everyday people who maybe haven't necessarily gone down the rabbit hole of studying trust or contract law and commerce. It's at the point now where almost everything has been made illegal. So no matter who you are, you might, just by going about your normal everyday business, run into some sort of issue that you're going to have to fix.
Hey, you know, I'd like to talk about that and maybe comment on something and tie in something that James has just said here. And one of the things when James said to go to peace with the Vatican and the Crown, it might not be common knowledge for everybody to know that there's a presumption that United States citizens are not only presumed to be dead entities as far as the United States government is concerned, and specifically in court hearings, but that they're also considered an enemy of the state, and they're operated against based on letters of marque and reprisal.
That's absolutely true. You know, we've been operating under so many false assumptions, and part of those assumptions are that we consent to all of it. That you know, we've heard for years that if somebody goes to prison, that they're there by their own consent. You know, when you go to court, you're there by your consent. Well, we never really figured out how that came about or how to correct that. And now we have. And that's the part of the first documents that we do for you at the Divine Providence. We correct all the assumptions. And like you said, they're the assumptions that we are dead, that we are lost at sea, and that our estate is, all of our private property is held in an estate, and that we are merely the executors or trustees of that estate, and that we consent to this rape, pillage, and plunder of our estate. We are considered enemies of the estate. So, all of those assumptions and consents, we on our first set of documents, we correct all this for you, and we made that we notice the Crown and the Vatican and all the pertinent parties that that you have changed your status and you have changed your consent. So, yeah, you're a good point. There's a very valuable things that we operate under today that we must correct.
Yeah, so I mean, that was one of the things, the whole aspect of going to peace, that when Spencer and I first saw the emphasis on that within DP, that immediately really resonated with us. It's something that we had had awareness of and thought about and talked about in a number of different occasions. Of the concept of basically neutralizing conflict, which to me is equivalent to going to peace.
Absolutely.
Spence, do you want to? Is there anything that you'd like to say about that, or tie that into something back to JT?
Yeah, it's just always been an actual literal element of a remedy that I would actually employ, as opposed to theoretical concepts that we would entertain privately. In other words, with any sort of actual real-world issue commercially, there are ways to offer resolution and to stay in honor is probably the quickest nuts and bolts element, and it really pulls the rug out of the agents in a system that need conflict in order to move forward, to control that conflict in a way that results in their in a solution or an outcome that they want. But the first and foremost element of that is we have to have a conflict and a fight going first. And so I've always just really resonated with that concept of when you offer peace now. If there's not a controversy, how do you have a court case?
That's right. Well, and you're right. I mean, if we've often heard, you know, what if somebody scheduled a war and nobody showed up? Well, right. It's the same thing. We've got the military-industrial complex, and they are designed and built to fight, to create conflict. Well, if we don't buy into that and we approach this with, just like you said, peace, with wanting to settle this in a peaceful manner, then they have a real problem continuing to battle with you. Mm-hmm. It takes two people to fight. So, yeah, when we approach them this way, it's a whole new perspective.
It kind of short circuits the system we've seen. They have a hard time reacting to that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because it's a whole new thing. You know, and it's not like every employee of the government is a warmonger. It's just that they've been programmed, or we've all been programmed, and those in those positions have been super programmed to operate in that mode.
Yeah.
I mean, once we start becoming aware of our own language, we realize how negative we talk. You know, that we have all this war and conflict in our words and our thoughts, and we don't think anything about it. You know, we think we're going to peace when we're going in to fight for our rights. You know, and we've been programmed to disconnect from that. And we have to become now aware of our own words and our thoughts and our intents. And when we do, then we approach things with a whole different perspective. And then they you're right, it's short circuits them. They don't know how to operate outside that war and conflict.
Yeah. Yeah, and it has real-world implications that where remedy is there to be had with it.
Absolutely, and we're seeing it every day.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing where it actually works, the real, you know, on the boots on the ground, you know, results. So that's real exciting, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen people, you know, that they, you know, they hear about all the successes, you know, and that's real exciting, and they really enjoy it. But whenever they actually have a success themselves, oh my gosh, it's like a whole different thing. You know, it's like a kid going to the carnival for the first time.
Yeah.
You know, they're so excited because the success is now real and personal for them. And we're getting that all over the place. You know, it's we're getting to be more and more recognized. Our IDs and our letters and stuff are being recognized and acknowledged. You know, they now know... they're beginning to see where the real power and authority is. They're beginning to understand now that we, as living beings, are a superior jurisdiction to their legal fiction courts. And it's real simple. A legal fiction can never reach parity with a living man. And as long as we know who we are and we go in and operate in peace, the court can never, you know, they no longer can reach up and touch us.
Mm-hmm. Can I touch on that, Nate?
Yeah, lay it on us, Spence.
Some of the ways that I approach that in my own mind and to just come at that from another angle is the created cannot be greater than the creator.
Absolutely.
And so when you...
Without consent.
Yes. And so the presumption is man created government, and government created corporations.
Yes.
And between government and corporations, citizens were created, and those are truly several steps lower than the status of man that created. And this is well understood with the folks that keep the system in check. And what we're exposed to with television and media and the conditioning that we get in the public school system is to not even entertain those concepts in our mind and to think it's just all muddled into the same thing. And that's substantially not the case.
Right. Well, anytime somebody expresses those views, they make us look, they talk about we're crazy and they discredit us and attack us. And, you know, so I mean, yeah. People see that I'm not trying to be part of that, you know?
Right.
Well, but you're right, the powers that be, they do understand that that we, in our living capacity, are superior to them. And when you start expressing that, then they begin to test you on that.
Sure.
You know? And if you pass the test, then all is good. But if you don't, things return to the land of the dead pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Spence, that's something you pointed out a number of times to some of our friends, is like, expect the test.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't be doing their job if they didn't give you some amount of testing.
Right, right. And there's, in my mind, there's always been some element of some folks kind of need to be governed. And you know what, in the Jamestown Exposition, I forget what, if Theodore Roosevelt said that you can never escape being governed. Either do it yourself or others will step in and do it for you. And so there's definitely a skill level where you need to be able to stand on a claim and enforce, not force with conflict, but to be able to not get pushed off of your claim of your sovereignty or your independence. And so that test, in my opinion, is not just that it's there and there's nothing we can do to escape it, but I kind of agree with it. It kind of separates some folks out a little bit at a time and kind of prevents a mass chaos of people that just don't want to thumb over them. Well, some folks haven't earned their way out from under that.
Well, we just talk about, let's consider driving a car. If we didn't have tests and age limits for getting driver's license, if we just allowed, you know, anybody from the age of 3 years on up to jump in the car and go, we would have absolute chaos.
Yeah.
And so it is with this system as well. You know, there must be, you know, they have to have gatekeepers to test us to ensure that we don't get three-year-olds driving cars in a new world.
Right. And some folks could look at it as they're doing this to me, or this is something where they're still not honoring.
Right.
And here's what I would say to that, even if that's the case and that's their intent, standing on higher ground always has more remedy available to it than someone that's just trying to start up conflict. And so if you the higher ground is sovereignty. People are always sovereign. They start out that way, and then they surrender it through various means that they may not be aware of. And so the higher ground is not that the system has control and authority and a thumb over you. It's that you had your sovereignty and your freedom, and you gave it away.
Right, and what happens is we continue that we're operating on a bunch of false assumptions. Unfortunately, we continue to provide evidence to support those false assumptions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say we don't want to be, that we're not a 14th Amendment citizen, and we're not liable to all of these codes and statutes, yet we go and we get a driver's license, and which is provides the evidence, you know, to support their assumption. We drive a car with their tags on it, and we get insurance, and, you know, we obey all the laws, and we pay the tickets. Those are all evidence that we provide that supports their assumptions. So they never have to prove the fact.
Yep.
They operate under the assumptions. Nobody's countered them, and we continue to provide the evidence.
Yeah, we
and
sure
it's simply,
do.
Right, so when we get in these situations, what we have to do is twofold. Stop providing the evidence to support the assumptions, and two, counter the assumptions that are adversely affecting us, and stand on that, you know, and expect the test. You know, I mean, it's always scary taking a test. You know, I mean, it's always stressful, but you know what? It's certainly exhilarating once you pass.
Sure is.
Sure is, man.
Huh. Hey, you know, just real quick to get some folks' mind around that concept of the status and the citizen is actually under the government, and it took a while to get there. I'd like to just sort of triangulate that point with, why did it take until the 14th Amendment of a Constitution to establish that status? That was the sort of turning the heat up in the water to boil the frog situation. And so that's just sort of another way to do the math backwards, is if we see it took at the federal level to the 14th Amendment in order to achieve that, well, what was going on at the 13th Amendment and prior?
Right. Well, we'll see that, even the Constitution itself was layering one more layer of corporate veil over the estates, or between the estates and ourselves. And as and then whenever the 14th Amendment created even another layer of corporation, corporate veil over top of between the estates and us. Mm-hmm. And so that's, so we had to identify that the 14th Amendment became very clear that it was a breach of trust. Because if you read this 14th Amendment, you see that 75 years after, or 73 years after signing the Constitution, all of a sudden they were appointing or creating a second Congress and Senate. And creating a new class of citizen. And I started reading that, and I said, well, what is this all about? How can they, in the land of the free, we don't have classes of citizens. We have just, inhabitants. And so I said, well, how can they create a new class of citizen? And they're all going to be operating under this brand new Congress and Senate. Well, what happened to the first Congress and Senate? You know, that's the one that dealt with the people. And so they had to create, on one level, although it was corporate, it at least dealt with the people. And the 14th Amendment separated us all, and it created this new assumption that we were all lost to sea. Mm-hmm. And the citizen became our estate in a legal fiction form. And that's what we call the straw man, or the estate, or the divine estate. It's our inheritance. So they continue to separate us farther and farther from the estates in this new corporate veil. And that's when all the real assumptions started, that we were dead, that we were lost at sea, and that we were either the trustees or the executors of those estates. And I've known for years, or believed for years, that once we got convicted, we were not being sentenced for that crime or for making that mistake. We were being sentenced for contempt of court for failing to settle that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were the ones that were always paying the fines or going to jail. You know, and that's not where we were supposed to be. We had been taken off of the 14th Amendment, took us out of the position of being beneficiaries and placed us in the position of being trustees, and the trustees became the true beneficiaries. And so that's something that in any trust, the trustee can never change the trust for their benefit. So it became real clear at that point. Once we started digging back and back, we see more and more breaches all the way back through time. So we continue to move ourselves back before all these breaches. So then now we're back to where we began as living beings, the divine spirit having a human experience, you know, and that this property back where our estate lies, you know, back outside of the corporate veils.
I have a question for you, James. You know, the fundamental element of due process is notice. And so I would imagine that it's quite a challenge for the administrative element of Divine Providence to be giving notice of this status of the folks that are a member and the nationality of Divine Providence itself to some of the smaller bureaucratic levels like the Secretary of State of individual states. Mm-hmm. And counties and things like that. Is there a process in place for that right now?
Absolutely. Yes, and that's part of the agreement when you become a member and you do these things. We notice the people and the agencies from the Vatican and the Crown on down to the Secretary of State of the United States. Uh-huh. And it is the member's responsibility for printing those off and serving copies on the local police, the mayor, the governor. All of those places that a Secretary of State of the state to notice them. And what we have when we have 1,000 members, and each one of those members sends out 10 or 15 or 20 notices. Now we have 10 or 15 or 20,000 notices going out and being placed in that many hands of the powers that be. And it begins the re-education process. Mm-hmm. So we encourage the members their obligation to serve as many notices as possible on the boots on the ground in the local area.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, so this kind of ties into something we wanted to get into, is talking about what are the skill level requirements for people who are becoming members now. But before we touch on that, James, what would you say if people are becoming members but kind of have a different perspective on sending out the notices? And I've heard some people say, well, you know, maybe I just shouldn't rock the boat. Maybe if I just fly under the radar, I don't want to draw attention to myself. What would be your response to people having that perspective?
Well, and I tell people, look, this is a free country, and that's what we're creating. It's something we're getting people out from under all the restraints and limitations. And I also warn them that we are already seeing a distinct pattern here. Mm-hmm. That those people who actually do the job and notice the most people have the most success. And those people that are all conservative and don't want to rock the boat are the ones that always end up in an emergency situation where they're calling all desperate about, now what do I do? Mm-hmm. You know, so, I mean, it is their choice. I'm not going to put restrictions You know, I mean, although, you know, to get a driver's permit, we're going to start having, you know, requirements for that. To do certain things, there are going to be certain educational levels that are going to be required, but for the purpose of protecting the whole. You know, but if the people don't want to, you know, the members don't want to do their job, then, you know, they're going to remain in the old way. They're still going to remain, you know, slaves. Mm-hmm. Freedom is not free. You know, it takes work and effort. And those of us who are doing the work are seeing the greatest response, the greatest success. So.
Can you tell us a little bit more about this, about the classes? That I know this is in the works, and mm-hmm. in your recent call with Ken Cousins, you made mention to that there's the process of a school being developed.
Right. Right, and we're going to be teaching, and, you know, we don't even know what freedom is really about anymore. You know, they ask you to sit down and write, what is freedom to you? You know, and you have to get past all the programming that, I mean, we believe that slavery, that, you know, taxation that we're living under was freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, so it takes time to rethink that. We're going to have classes that just teach us to rethink. We're going to have classes to teach us how to live privately and how to live free. We're going to have classes that go through each one of the documents and teaches you word for word, sentence for sentence, what you're getting into and what you're signing and what you're buying into, what you're being held accountable for. Mm-hmm. Because what we are doing here is we're creating a system or a community of 100% accountability. So we're going to be having these classes. We're going to have webinars and videos and stuff for that to assist us in to relearning how to think critically, how to problem solve, what living free and private means, or how you do it, setting up the structures for doing all that, how to interact with the police, how to interact in the courtroom. We're creating classes for all of that stuff.
Sounds like you'd have to touch on the difference between mala prohibita and mala in se.
Absolutely.
So for those who might not be aware of what that is, can you give us just some of the basics?
You're talking to me.
Well,
yeah.
Or either one of you gentlemen.
Yeah, you know when James said that a lot of folks don't know what true freedom is, I probably couldn't stress that enough. When it resonates in people's minds that it's accepted and normal to be told whether or not they wear a seatbelt or whether or not they're going to use a cell phone, those are mala prohibita type regulations. In other words, they're wrong just because someone else with authority over you told you that that's the case. They're not wrong by the nature of the action. And so those are the kinds of things that people get accustomed to, and the only standard by which they measure it is, are other people told not to do this as well? And so
people now operate under, I'm not going to do this because I'm being told I'm not going to do it. They don't think about, is this a smart or thing to do? Right. You know, is texting while I'm driving, I mean, I shouldn't be doing it because it's unsafe, not yes. because they said I couldn't do it.
Well, yes.
And we need to, we have to learn the difference of that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to go 90 through a school zone because it's stupid. Mm-hmm. You know, not because they said I can't.
Right.
So that, and that might be another good point to just kind of touch on too, is that even if we do take the necessary steps to redeem our estate and we've been given a diplomatic status, it's not just a license to go acting a fool saying, oh, well, hey, none of your laws apply to me. I can just, you know, I can do whatever I want.
Absolutely. Well, you look at the Pope. The Pope is the premier trustee of the world, or was, and I had absolute immunity from the whole world, and now he's running from an indictment. Mm-hmm. You know, so, right, it doesn't, just because diplomatic immunity does not allow you a free reign to run wild, world.
No, no. You know,
there's always accountability of some kind.
Always. Always. But that's where there's an injury, not just a breach of...
A thought crime. Right?
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit? Do you have any inside knowledge on what's going on with the stepping down of the Pope? I'm really curious about that.
It is curious, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's lots of speculation. And we've been expecting it. I knew he was going to step down. I thought he was going to step down sooner, but not for those reasons. I really wonder about the reasoning. You know, there was some hints in the original recounts or countings of the story that led me to believe that what we're hearing now is just smoke and mirrors. But the reality is, it's time for all the stuff that they've been doing to be exposed. We know that there's only going to be one more pope, and the Catholic Church is going down. It's just no longer going to exist. Uh-huh. It served its purpose. So it doesn't surprise me that he's stepping down now. We'll kind of see what happens, who replaces him. I can my bet is his name will be Peter. He'll be the 112th pope, and then make the first and last pope will be named Peter. So
how is that going to affect Divine Providence, or how does that tie into what's going on currently for you guys?
It's exactly right in line with what I've been expecting. It doesn't adversely affect us. In fact, it actually helps our situation.
I would think so. You know, the Vatican also has a pretty tight grip on the monetary system and the rules that govern therein. And,
yes.
And one of the concerns that I have is how fundamentally ignorant people are in how money and banking works. How does Divine Providence going to maybe shore up some of that potential chaos that could happen in that world?
Well, we are very involved in the banking system worldwide. We're tied in some of the most powerful bankers, so we know a lot about what's coming down the pike. We know what the new infrastructure is being built. But we're part of that new infrastructure, and there is a huge, huge plan, and been a lot of effort put into making sure this is a non-chaotic transition. And a non-chaotic is actually a relative term. You know, I mean, they can be we can have lots of stuff like the Pope and all this exposure going on, but that's not really chaos. You know, I mean, that's just conflict, a lot of, truths coming out. And we're going to see more and more of that, a lot of exposures, because we're moving from the land of the illusion into a land of value and substance, you know, where honor, integrity, and truth are the operating, you know, the rules of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
We're watching the Pope situation very closely, and we have our own theories and stuff, so we're waiting anxiously to see how this all unfolds, too.
You know, the Federal Reserve got sued for 2.5 million metric tons of gold. You know about that lawsuit, yeah?
Yeah.
That kind of seems like it could be a tipping point in some of that international level banking too. So.
Yeah. There's a lot of things going on in the world today.
Yeah,
a whole lot of things that nobody realizes is going on. Very secret, very, very not necessarily secret, very quiet.
Mm-hmm. Quiet, yeah, yeah. It just doesn't make mainstream news.
Right. You know, we're involved in a lot of that ourselves, so we know. You know, it's not like we're everybody being secret. It's just sometimes you get for everybody's security. Mm-hmm. Remain very quiet.
Right.
That's sometimes the most effective place to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, James, with that in mind, are you in any position to comment on the One People's Public Trust? I know a lot of people are, have the attention on that and are interested to hear perhaps your perspective on that.
Well, I try not to judge other people's work. We all have our place and our purpose.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our own opinions on things. I looked into it and decided not to not get involved in it.
Okay.
It doesn't fit in with my beliefs and my what we're doing.
Okay.
I believe it's a very inside the box situation.
Hmm. Okay. So you personally don't see a way of synthesizing that into the DP?
No. I've looked at it, and I've tried to come up with a way to make it work. And, I've asked certain questions, and nobody's been able to answer those and provide those things. So, I just don't see it as happening. Anytime some program or somebody is saying, all you have to do is sign up here and you guaranteed $20 billion coming your way, it raises red flags for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it many, many times, and, as soon as I see that, I start asking certain questions and seeing where people's coming from and who's involved, and it's just not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it's wrong, it's just not for me.
Right, right. And there's a number of different paths, and there's a number of different approaches that people are taking all over the place to
Absolutely.
Ensure greater levels of freedom and self-responsibility and all sorts
Absolutely.
Of awesome stuff.
Well, and it's taken pressure from all different angles, and that's what we've all been doing for all these years, of putting pressure and picking at this and pulling that and the loose string and exposing this and exposing that. So, we all traveled these paths, and it was all necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think what they did was great. They exposed a lot of stuff, and they're getting some attention, and they're re-educating the people. So, they are exactly where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, those mistakes can be learned from. I think a lot of times people want to chalk them up to waste of time or whatnot. That's an excellent way to look at it. It's sometimes those dead-end paths, at the very least, taught you that's a dead-end path.
Right. Right. And, I've been down many, many rabbit holes and run into many dead ends. And I always looked at them, okay, now we just peeled away another layer of the onion, And now we've used that as a foundation. You take these nuggets from each portion or each layer of the onion with you. And we're all in a different layer. But it was all each one of us carry our own piece of the puzzle, and each one of us is absolutely vital to completing the full picture. So, we all came here from a different path, and now it all is for us all to come together and see now how do the pieces fit together and how do we operate to make this transition.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you characterize the minimum skill level of a new DP member as they would come in right now that are aware of the civil system and it's not something that they want to participate in, and they have maybe their mind thinking towards the divine providence? What would you say how would you characterize the minimum skill level for them to be?
I don't know that I would characterize it that way as being a minimum skill level. I would mm-hmm. say I would prefer people come in with an open mind
mm-hmm.
and no greed, and don't bring any greed and desperation with you. And that's it. If you come with an open mind and follow your heart, if it feels right, continue on. Do your research and make sure it's right for you. But don't come in all desperate to fix something.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you do that, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
People want to come in and they don't want to do their homework. They want, I need a quick fix to fix this problem so I can get back in the football game.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's would be my qualifications. Please come in and do your homework and make it yours.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the time or don't have the energy to do that, then please check something else out.
I would also say there's a minimum apprentice level where someone at least needs to have guidance to a certain point before they can even get self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
And I just am thinking that knowing that the divine providence offers identification and new status and new nationality affiliations, if someone were to utilize that identification completely ignorant and out of the box, they would find themselves disappointed in it. And at some point through that learning process that still requires the apprenticeship, they would kind of graduate through the knowledge of that they would need to go introduce themselves as, hey, this is my new status, and I'm rebutting the old civil system, and that there's going to be pushback. And I guess that's kind of what I had in mind to maybe even elaborate on a little bit or something. It's not a turnkey deal, and some folks that haven't even kind of graduated through the apprentice level don't have enough context for that yet.
Well, right, and that's, you know, that's the key here. We're finding that so many people want to come in and they don't want to do their homework. They just want to fix, and that's what I say. That's why we're having to put into some controls as far as you must complete these educational classes or you can get this product or you can do that.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we unfortunately, you know, we put it all out there, you know, trying to teach people that this is all about self-empowerment and accountability. And here's all the information. Here's all the tools you need. We've done 99% of the work for you. All we need you to do is put in that 1% effort, and you can make this on your own. You can be free. And there's a huge percentage of the people that refuse to do that 1%. And then there's an even smaller percent that take it and think this is a license to rob banks and stuff. So, and we found that that the universe is very good at policing this new world. Mm-hmm. That whenever somebody that comes in and gets low energy, low vibration person comes in, they don't last long. Mm-hmm. You know, they just don't last long. So,
I would imagine, yeah.
One of the things we've noticed and we've talked about a lot with ourselves or with our friends is that, like, as Spencer terms it, coats of paint, that many coats of paint are needed in our education.
Yes.
Like, sometimes they need to dry and cure, and then you come back and you put another one on it, and it sinks in more.
Yeah.
I've clearly experienced that on a number of occasions where, oh yes, I know. I've been introduced to this concept over and over and over again, and then finally, I hear it for the fifth or sixth time. Now I get it. Now it starts to come into my beingness.
Right.
And that's something I've recognized with this. It's like as we embark on these endeavors of redeeming our estate and taking on more freedom and more self-responsibility. Regardless of the book learning, there's an aspect of just the change that comes over your very way of being and your consciousness.
Yes, yes. Yeah, you know, I can think back and think that there are certain things here I said or we talked about or things for years, you know, hundreds of times, and really didn't know what it meant. And then all of a sudden, say, holy shit, it means. Mm-hmm. Now I get it, you know. We talked about, I remember going through years ago whenever we were talking about money and there was no money. And there were so many of us that we were working together. And, I mean, we used to call each other on it all the time. There is no money, you know. We're talking. So we had to change our way of speaking. And, you know, and that's so it was an effort. It took real focus. Something that took us years of steady focus and catching each other and working in small groups to call each other on this for us to change our way of thinking and our way of talking, you know, which then resulted in a different reality and a different way of writing and, you know, and it gradually changed. But yeah, it's a process. You don't just read it and pick it up and say, ah, I got it. You know, it's something you have to hear over and over and over again. And that's what we're trying to do on DP, on the website, is create multiple sources where you're hearing the same thing in different ways from different people. And because I know I've taught for a long time, and I could sit down with certain people and I would tell them something, you know, and they don't get it. And so I'd try a different way of telling it. You know, and I try, you know, maybe a half a different perspectives and try. Well, then I say, well, here, you come over here and try to explain it to them. They'll tell them and they have a bingo. First time they get it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a matter of we're all wired a little bit differently and we all, you know, take the information in a little differently. So
well,
they
in
have
context.
To hear it. Yes, yes. So we have to hear it from different perspectives and from different people. So that's what we're trying to do on the DP website is create that interaction between members and create more and more content and videos and whatnot, conversations up there, so people hear it all the time. You know, that's why we record a lot of we do a lot of radio shows and a lot of conference calls that we record, because that way people can hear the same thing in different contexts, you know, and from different perspectives, and then finally it sinks in. You know, we're so programmed, and the programming is so deep that it takes gargantuan effort to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Go explain.
And so, yes, absolutely. Yes, there are coats of pain. So, you know, we have to be patient. We went through it, and it's to continue to go through it. And so it's for us to be patient with others and understand that, you know, the same thing, and it does take time. You know, and some of that is just learning, you know, somebody going out there and getting dumb with it and getting cracked in the head and saying, now you know why you don't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it is quite the process we're going through. And, you know, I mean, we're all learning, and we're teaching and learning daily, you know. You know, I teach every day, but then there's not a single day or generally not too many conversations where I don't learn something in the process as well. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know we are learners, we are teachers and students at the same time.
Full capacities, yep.
Yes, yeah. Hey, I learned many years ago, never ever underestimate anybody, because you never know where there were prophetic words are coming from, or just, you know, I've heard, you talk to somebody and you hear one sentence out of their mouth, but you remember that sentence forever. You know, it just, and you never know where those are going to come from.
Spence, you had something?
Yeah, I don't know if maxim is the right term, but there's definitely a kernel of wisdom that's spoken among judges. And they say that learning is, you're never done. You're never done learning. And that's at a judge level.
Right.
That they acknowledge that. So.
Yes. Yeah, when you stop learning, you stop living.
Yeah, or questioning.
Yes. You know, so. And I think both those are both the same.
Yeah.
So.
He who questions well learns well.
Yes, you know, yeah, we're moving into a whole new way of living and thinking and doing things. It's so exciting, you know. And it really just takes everybody being aware that this is what we're doing and being able to laugh at ourselves and forgive ourselves. Oh my God, you know, look what I've done now. I created this reality, and now I know why, because of the way I talk and I thought and my intent through all the years. And I think, holy shit, that, you know. Can I forgive myself on that? Well, you know, it was what it was. It was a learning experience. And now we've learned that we have a choice and that we can choose to create a better reality. You know? So it's just a matter of being. And once we're aware of it, how we can really take inventory of our every word, and we can identify now, what am I creating? What do I want to create? Mm-hmm. And that's the key to the new world, being aware.
Wait. Hey, does the Divine Province it's divineprovince.org for the website, yeah?
Yes, correct.
And are there videos and tutorials and learning tools right there on the website, or do you have other places as well?
No, they're all right there on the website at the moment. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, on occasion. When we're getting ready to start some webinars, and when we do that, they will all be run through the website. They'll be posted on there. We will be doing probably maybe some more seminars. Everything is going to be run through the website. It's easy access for everybody to learn.
Yeah, and JT was saying that there's some sort of option to get a free temporary membership.
Yes, when you go on the website right now, you can sign up, it's a real big, like 30 seconds, and you get a free membership for 7 days, and you can cruise around the whole website through the private side of it and see what's going on, what the documents are there, or what the forum is like, And then, you know, you can determine whether you're that's for you or not.
Yeah. And even if people aren't members, they can go to it. There is a public side.
Correct.
I think on the if you go to the About Postmaster General office, there's at least four different menus that open there. They give a bunch of awesome background on, you know, where this has come from and how it's gotten to where it's at today.
Yes, yeah, so you can go and you can read for a week or better just on the public side of it.
Yeah.
And then you can get into the private side and there's even more. So.
Cool. James, we're getting close to the end of the hour. I was wondering if you could speak just briefly about making the distinction between being at peace, but not just being run over because we're at peace.
Well, yes, I'll tell you, a lot of it is our perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we're being run over when we can't see other options. Okay, there are options. I mean, it's, I find it, you know, going into court and filing motions and filing briefs and filing suits is going to war. You can go and you can handle, there's so many things you can settle without going to court. And you can do that very simply by operating from the position of the trustee. You know, whenever we know that everything is a trust, now you're not going to battle. You know, it's their codes and statutes, and those courts are designed as battlegrounds. So you don't go into those courts. You don't settle them in a traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just lay down, but we settle them in a different way. We're learning today how to go into court, how to handle these affairs, what documents we can put in to prevent going to the court, you know, to settle these things. So we're working on this all every day, and we're coming, you know, learning every time we do something, we learn more and more, and it's getting very exciting.
Awesome, yeah. We had a chance to experiment with some of this stuff last week. I'm sure James and I'll eventually be putting some more information out about that, and we look forward to working with you guys and continuing to evolve the technologies and the strategies for going into court and interfacing with various officials.
Yes, and hopefully this spring we can come up there and camp out for a few days and do some learning and some teaching and maybe do some filming and enjoy life for a few days.
That would be awesome. As you know, we've certainly been interested in that, and we've made that offer to you and the team a number of times. And yeah, absolutely, we'd love to network on doing something like that.
Yeah.
We've got a real interesting and unique setting to do various forms of education of all sorts of alternative subjects out here.
Right. Yes, I look forward to coming up and seeing the place in person.
Awesome, man. JT, is there anything else that comes to your mind that, I don't know, that you'd want to say to people that are members or folks that are considering being members, or any closing thoughts?
Yes, I won. I've been into this for 20 years, and it was a very long, hard battle. But you know, today it is so exciting because so many things are changing so fast, and I'm seeing work behind the background where a huge change, things I didn't ever think would change, are changing, and that we're so close breaking through to the other side, where we can now live in peace and prosperity and in abundance. If people would just become aware and do their part, and each day just to change their way of talking and thinking and working and doing a little bit of homework, we can have a change in this world in no time at all. I'm so excited about what's going on. You know, I remember years ago, 10 years ago, that many times that I didn't think there was the worth world was worth saving. And today I just see so much hope, you know, that we've made it. You know, all we have to do is continue to wake up and continue just to do our homework and become aware of who we are.
Awesome. So, yeah, so let's keep laying those coats of paint and create the world that we want.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, James and Spencer, thank you very much for both of you sharing your time with us today. And looks like this is about the end of the hour. We should wrap this show up. And wishing our brothers and sisters peace and harmony all across the planet, within the planet, and beyond. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. Well, thank you. Good night.